This is Josh Sumby, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Drayton, North Dakota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson. Nitrogen fertilizer costs have increased over $100 per ton in the 2 weeks since the Middle East conflict began. Supplies of other fertilizer categories are also under pressure. Comparisons have been made to the disruptions that happened in the Black Sea region in 2022 at the beginning of the Russia-Ukraine war. NDSU Center for Agricultural Supply and Trade Studies senior research economist Sean Arita says it is a very different situation today.
Back then in 2022, there was rerouting. The fertilizers were still, they weren't cut off. They weren't shut off. The Russian and Belarus fertilizers still found ways to flow out, albeit a little bit more expensive. I mean, some additional logistical challenges surrounding the war and the sanctions and so forth, but they're still flowing through the global market. Right now, at the Hormuz, you have a physical blockage. Russian ships aren't going through. And so that those fertilizers are stuck, and those plants have been shutting down. They've been suspending operations. So that's a big difference.
Grain prices shot up in 2022, offsetting the pain of higher input costs. The Persian Gulf, when Hormuz reopens, significant time will be needed for these fertilizer products to reach the United States.
I mean, we all remember during the pandemic when these things, when different type of plants of all sorts, whenever you have a shutdown, it just takes a long time for everything to reopen. So again, even in the best case scenario, these knock-on effects, we're already having less global supply of fertilizers because every day that these plants remain shut, you're that supply destruction for those fertilizers. So that's already crimping global supply.
Fertilizer prices were already high before this latest shock to the system. According to the NDSU analysis, a prolonged closure of the strait could have a major impact on the farmers' bottom line this year. Volatility tied to the conflict with Iran has been driving sharp swings across the commodity markets this week. Grain market reacted to geopolitical headlines, rising energy prices, and concerns about shipping through the Strait of Hormuz, while livestock markets have moved lower amid worries about consumer demand. Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson says much of the market movement has been tied directly to developments in the Middle East.
Right now, we're basically reacting everything to what's going on with the war with Iran. I mean, that's really kind of grabbing the headlines and causing the market to flip-flop back and forth there. And, you know, the big news, of course, is, you know, with the war going on, the Strait of Hormuz, whether it's open or closed, whether we can get boats through there, you know, the crude oil rallying, and then, of course, with the Persian Gulf, even just the safety of the boats float, you know, and the vessels out in the Persian Gulf. So that's really been the headlines.
The geopolitical tensions have pushed crude oil prices sharply higher, and that has spilled over into agriculture. Higher fuel prices are also driving fertilizer costs up rapidly, which could influence planting decisions for the upcoming growing season.
That's causing a lot of guys that, you know, I think the industry is saying there's about 60% of the producers have their fertilizer bought and or applied. So that means 40% are still out there that's still looking, they're shopping. And that's likely going to cause a decrease in corn acres, you know, as this cost keeps going up, guys, and especially with the rally in soybeans. So now you're kind of seeing two forces pulling acres away from corn, the higher fertilizer and the higher soybean prices. So it looks like we could see a little less corn acres get planted this year, a little more soybeans.
Martinson says markets will continue to watch developments in the Middle East closely, along with upcoming trade discussions between the United States and China that could influence soybean demand. The International Energy Agency has sharply cut its outlook for global oil supply growth as the war in the Middle East disrupts shipments through the Strait of Hormuz. The agency now expects global oil supply to grow by about 1.1 million barrels per day this year, down from a previous forecast of 2.4 million barrels per day. The IEA says the conflict has created one of the largest supply disruptions in the history of the oil market, with production in the Gulf region falling sharply as key exporters reduce output. Global oil supply in March is projected to drop to about 98.8 million barrels per day, the lowest level since early 2022. In response, the IEA announced its member nations will release 400 million barrels of oil from emergency reserves, the largest coordinated stock release ever. The U.S. agricultural trade deficit rose in January, totaling $1.76 billion. That's up from $1.1 billion in December. Ag exports declined slightly, but imports were up. For fiscal year 2026 through January, ag exports totaled just over $61 billion and exports approached $65 billion. That put the cumulative trade deficit at $3.8 billion. That's down from $11.3 billion at the same time a year ago. Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar has joined other Democrats in sponsoring legislation to end the president's latest 10% tariffs. This is the first time the White House has used its Section 122 authority in its 50-year history. Klobuchar said the across-the-board tariffs are raising costs for farmers, small businesses, and consumers. A powerful windstorm moved across the northern plains on Thursday as a rapidly intensifying low-pressure system produced damaging winds across the region. According to World Weather Incorporated, sustained winds of 30 to 45 miles per hour were reported in parts of the northern plains, with gusts ranging from 60 to more than 80 miles per hour in some locations. The storm also produced areas of heavy snow and blowing snow, creating near blizzard conditions in parts of the northern plains. Forecasters say that the storm was likely the first of two major systems expected in the region. Another rapidly developing storm is forecast to form this weekend and could bring a significant blizzard to portions of the northern plains and upper Midwest late Saturday through Monday. Some areas could see 1 to 2 feet of snow along with winds of 30 to 60 miles per hour, creating whiteout conditions, travel disruptions, and stress for livestock. This is the Red River Farm Network. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Midwest Market Solutions market analyst Brian Hoops says cattle markets are trading on news of the JBS meatpacking plant strike and plant closure.
There is a lot of talk that they may not open this plant ever again. It may just stay closed. They're doing maintenance this week, so they haven't killed anything this week. The kill has been diverted to another JBS plant. So it's unfortunate, but maybe this plant, if it goes on strike, and it looks like it's going to, just may stay dark for a long period of time. Now, we've known about this, so it's not like fresh news, but I thought it was enough maybe to put a little pressure against our opening, and we actually opened a little stronger, maybe some hedge lifting yet or some profit taking on shorts and looking ahead to next week's cash markets, which look more of a steady type go than a lower type trade next week, and we're already discount in the futures.
It's still winter outside, but with each passing day, planting season draws nearer and nearer. DeKalb Agro technical agronomist Derek Pruitt says farmers should keep an eye on their field conditions so when the time is right, they can jump on the opportunity to get started.
You know, we need to stick to the basics, and I think in this case, that's just we need to be ready to plant, and we sometimes need to be patient, and we just need to wait until field conditions are fit. And we've got to have the right soil moisture. You don't want too much, you don't want too little, and you got to wait until clear soil is warm enough, and you've just got the right conditions. And then once you've got the right conditions, you just go.
Pruitt says farmers in most parts of the northern plains should have a good soil moisture profile heading into the season.
I think as far as soil moisture, we're sitting pretty good, right? I mean, we should have a pretty good soil profile, which is always good. You know, you want that there. It's probably going to, I mean, depending on the weather, it could end up being pretty wet this spring, and we just want to be mindful of that. But, it's looking like it could be a wet spring, but that's not always a bad thing, though, because that means that we've got plenty of moisture going into the year, and then we've got a little bit more cushion in case it doesn't rain, and so we're in a pretty good spot.
No one in U.S. agriculture questions the importance of overseas trade to the sector's long-term health. Donald Trump has pushed to rebalance global trade relationships, but that effort has also created challenges for producers trying to sell their products overseas. National Cattlemen's Beef Association's Kent Bacchus says the cattle industry is hoping to see some progress soon.
I think what we'd really like to see, though, is some of those planes landed. We'd like to see some of those deals kick in and give our producers the opportunity. Because in the middle of all of this, we also had China shut us out of the market entirely. Yep. And that was before all the tariff escalation started. That was just them being bad trade partners and not fulfilling their responsibilities in the Phase 1 agreement. And so because of that, that's a $1.4 billion market that we don't have access to anymore. And that hits every segment of our industry.
Bacchus says the loss of access to China has ripple effects across the entire beef supply chain, from processors to cow-calf producers.
You look at the losses in the processing sector due to China alone, it's pretty significant. And it's not just the big four. It's a lot of the small and mid-sized operations or processors that were eligible to ship to China. Mm-hmm. That was going to be a good way to really build that profit margin and honestly support a section of the processing sector that we wanted to see more of. We didn't want to see more hooks in the bigger plants. We wanted to see more hooks in regional areas. And without that extra opportunity, it's going to be harder for them to stay in business. For our cow-calf producers, for our feeders, they're seeing this hurt too, because the Chinese eat a whole lot of the cuts that we just can't sell domestically, and in many cases not in other markets that we have access to.
Bacchus says finalizing pending trade agreements and expanding access to additional markets would help bring much needed stability to the U.S. beef industry. USDA is reminding farmers about the differences between the general and continuous sign-up options under the Conservation Reserve Program. Both signups were announced earlier this year and offer producers opportunities to enroll environmentally sensitive land into conservation practices. USDA Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation Richard Fordyce says the two programs operate differently.
We announced both the continuous and the general CRP sign-up in February. The general is the one where folks actually will earn points based on their application, and then we'll score those, and the ones that have the highest score likely will get selected to initiate a new contract. And
Fordyce says the continuous sign-up works differently and is designed to address specific conservation concerns.
Continuous sign-up, it is basically ongoing, and the continuous practices are more focused on a specific resource concern. Lots of times, they're focused on improving water quality, so riparian buffers and things like that.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture. On the Red River Farm Network on Fridays, we find out about what's on the cover of this week's Ag Week. We're joined by news editor Michael Johnson. Michael? What can we expect on the cover this week?
In this week's Ag Week cover story, I visited Battle Lake Public School in Battle Lake, Minnesota, where meat processing classes have made a return thanks to a desire to offer more training like this in a high school setting. The classes include learning in food safety, cutting, sausage making, and that's what students were doing when I arrived last week. What really pushed this learning forward was a $66,000 grant from the Minnesota Department of Agriculture's Agri Meat Education and Training Program. Thanks to that, students have new cutting, grinding, mixing, and even smoking equipment to go from start to finish with this meat. In 1 hour, they were able to complete a grind before heading to their next class, and I've since been sent photos that the sausages were completed and they really look fantastic. Battle Lake is just one of many schools in the state that is building meat processing back into the curriculum to help with the workforce shortage still being felt in small-scale meat processing. This was once commonplace in most small towns in the state. The Department of Ag has had 2 rounds of funding to support meat processing education in high school and at the college level. And even though most of the students I spoke with said meat processing was not in their future, they all agreed that the learning was beneficial to their futures. You can hear more about this on Ag Week TV or online at agweektv.com.
Thanks, Michael. Looking forward to reading it in this week's Ag Week.
Checking quotes, May wheat Minneapolis is 13 cents higher at 647.5. Chicago May wheat 13.5 higher at 612. KC May hard red winter wheat's up 15 cents currently, 628.5. May corn up 3.25, 465.5. May soybeans are 5.75 cents down to 1221.5. In Winnipeg, May canola is up 410 per metric ton to 738.40 Canadian. April live cattle down 65 cents to 230.60. April feeders 95 cents lower at 342.05. April hogs are down $1.07, 93.27. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you are listening to the Red River Farm Network.